This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, let me get on the phone here with Stephen Bozell, who's at a dog trail. Where are you training your dog?
That's right. We're out here at Kramer's, Riverside, California.
Go ahead.
As I mentioned to Chris, I have a neighbor who grows, my next-door neighbor, Roy Hutchins, grows zucchini to a ridiculous size, and he insists on holding it over the fence and asking me what I think. I've asked him to stop. I've asked him to stop doing this in front of my wife and kids when I have guests over for a barbecue. I'm never alone in the backyard, and he always makes sure that there are other people there to humiliate me further, because I know that everyone knows what he's doing, and I think you need to read between the lines on this thing.
All right, your neighbor has a home garden, and he is growing. Are you outside, sir?
Yes, I am.
He's growing zucchini too large?
He's growing, in other words, what he does is he grows zucchini to about a foot and a half and about 7 inches around, and he'll say, just see this one, take a look at this. He does it in front of my wife. He does it in front of my children. I have asked him to stop. He does not stop. He looks at me as if I'm crazy. And
So you feel he grows zucchini, and the people at home, because my wife has a garden, you guys should know that zucchini and squash and some tomatoes will grow to, they'll continue to grow until you harvest them. And he's growing them oversized?
Yeah, but my point is he's doing it on purpose. And the other thing is that we noticed, and my wife mentioned this to me, is he's planting iceberg lettuce and green cabbage on either side of the zucchini. Now, you have to read between the lines, and you have to have a pretty sharp eye on this. But it's obvious what he's trying to do, and I ask myself, and the reason why I wanted to come on your program, what is the purpose of a home garden when you can go to any supermarket and fill 2 grocery bags of produce and not break a 10? But he's growing zucchini to a foot and a half with cabbage on either side. Obviously, he's got a filthy mind, but when he is holding it up and saying, what do you think of this?
So that I know, and are the dogs are okay, right?
Yes, sir, they're fine. We're just we're putting them to the paces right now for the Oxnard Dog Show is coming up.
You think that your friend holding this oversized zucchini over the fence has somehow emasculates you?
I think you need to have a pretty sharp eye to see these things, Mr. Henry, but this is a way that some neighbors have of bullying, of humiliating, and of otherwise having fun at other people's expense.
But he, by saying, hey, have you seen this zucchini that I grew in my home garden? It's a foot long. You're saying this is emasculating.
I think everybody knows what he's trying to do and what he's trying to say.
Which is a compliment on your, or a commentary, a negative commentary on your manhood.
That is correct, sir. The fact that he grows cabbage on either side of the zucchini so that it can look like a man's area also.
Now, a lot of people grow this as a hobby. You say, well, you could go to any supermarket and buy it. Why are there home gardens? A lot of people do it as a hobby.
All right, then that answers that question, but why do they grow them as large as they do? Why would you grow a zucchini to be 2 feet in length and 9 inches around? This is where, if you read between the lines, and not everybody picks up on the clues, but this is an effort on the part of people to grow these vegetables to strip confidence away from men that they don't like. And most of these vegetable gardens are grown by wives. Many of them are, I guess this is their way of saying they're dissatisfied, so they drop hints. And where do these women spend most of their time at night? They're out there weeding.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686.
Also, Mr. Henry, if I could interrupt.
Go ahead.
Do I have to remind you that there are children that are witnessing this pornography? My children, his children, my wife, his wife.
All right, so when he hangs that large zucchini over the fence and says, have you seen what I've grown in my garden, you take that as a pornographic comment, and it is...
I think it's degrading to the children as well, yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell, and we're going to get to the lawsuit that you are contemplating with your attorney. And if you hear dogs barking in the background, you're in the dog training class, right, in Riverside?
That's correct. We're out of Kramer's in Riverside.
1-800-449-8686. You are contemplating a lawsuit. Now tell me what happened on June 16th, all right?
At that time, Mr. Hutchins called to my wife, who was in the backyard, and said to my wife, April, he said, April, take a look at this. I observed my wife standing at the fence with Mr. Hutchins She was running her hands over the zucchini, which was a foot and a half in length, approximately 7 inches in circumference. I heard her say, "Oh God, I wish I could get mine to grow that big," and all these other suggestive comments. Now, she doesn't have a garden. She asked me, and I told her no. So there's no reason why she would stick it in and break it off that way. And
you suspect your wife of having said this on purpose?
I suspect my wife of having said this as a joke with Mr. Hutchins to humiliate me, right?
As a comment on your manhood, look at this big zucchini that he grew.
I believe that, yes, sir. But that's when I confronted Mr. Hutchins.
Now, the 911 operator, I don't have the recording, but the 911 operator said that there was police, the police were rolled to your home, right?
I shouted some obscenities. He shouted some obscenities. I told him to stay away from my wife because he's trying to send messages to her. Then 911 was called and the police came. No charges were filed, but I'm contemplating a lawsuit.
All right, tell us about the lawsuit that you're contemplating, because if you're threatening to sue your next door neighbor because he's taunting you by growing oversized zucchini, I don't know what in civil law gives precedent for this.
Well, I'm told by my attorney that we can file a lawsuit for harassment against Mr. Roy Hutchins, that we can also contemplate a lawsuit against Miracle-Gro and the spokesperson for Miracle-Gro, James Whitmore, who stands there on television with a hose talking about Miracle-Gro and making everything bigger while he's holding a hose about waist high. And I'm not saying that...
Well, you can't say that that's suggestive.
No, but I'm saying that all of that put together is meant to, in some way, demean me. Mr. Hutchins is a neighbor who thinks it's funny to bully other people around. And if there's anything that we learned, and I guess this is the biggest point that I wanted to make, Mr. Henry, if we learned anything from 9/11, it's to watch your neighbors. Don't turn a blind eye to their activity. Mr. Muhammad Atta, who was one of the people that flew one of the planes into the World Trade Center, he lived next door to someone, and nobody did a damn thing.
Well, how do you keep people from growing these vegetables too big? I mean, if someone grows a vegetable, or is it just the fact that he was hanging the thing over the fence?
Well, I think there can be some kind of legislation that can be enacted that tells people to harvest at the proper time in the name of common decency. The police use infrared to spot marijuana groves using infrared light, and we can use the same technology to spot overgrown zucchini or squash or someone to try and stop the pain that so many of us feel. We do have the technology. I think we do have the resources. I think people are sick of it. I know I'm sick of it.
You can't tell me that this is a widespread problem, do you? Do you think?
Well, but neighborhood bullying is a widespread problem, and these neighbors who think that they're lording it over everybody else, I got a new spa, I got a new pool, I got a new Cadillac, take a look at how big I'm growing a zucchini, and he has my wife over there, and it's all very suggestive. And it is meant to.
Specifically what, sir? Is it meant to say, look at how big this zucchini is and you're really small?
I think that is, if you read between the lines, if you scratch beneath the surface of any bully, you'll find a guy who is trying to tell you that you're not a man. That is absolutely correct. So my lawsuit simply will be designed to make sure that individuals who have home gardens have the common decency to harvest squash or zucchini at a time before it turns into some John Holmes looking thing, and it leaves me looking stupid in front of my wife and kids.
I don't know if we have any people who are home gardeners out there. My wife is a home gardener, and she grows all kinds of things. She has tomatoes. She has...
Does she grow zucchini?
My wife does grow zucchini, and zucchini can get away from you. It can get big before you're very... I mean, before you know it.
Well, everybody knows that the only reason people grow zucchini and squash to these large sizes is to show off.
Well, a lot of people grow big zucchinis and big squash, giant things, to enter into, like, blue fairs, you know, and that kind of thing.
Well, they say that, but it's really to show off and to say, so how do you feel now, you know? And especially if your wife is growing these things and she comes in and says to you, look at this. I think the message is very clear to me or any man. She says, look at this. And I'm supposed to say, okay, in other words, I'm not big enough for...
Well, she's not using the thing as a sex aid.
No, sir, I'm not saying that she is. I'm saying it's simply her trying to stick it in and break it off.
All right, so the growing of these large zucchinis is humiliating and emasculating. Anybody with a neighborhood garden out there that grows their zucchini or squash too big is humiliating and emasculating any men in the neighborhood. You are contemplating a lawsuit against your neighbor, Mr. Roy Hutchins, James Whitmore, the spokesperson for Miracle-Gro, and Miracle-Gro.
That is correct, yes, sir. Because
of, and you call this a some kind of harassment.
That is correct. As I said, Mr. Henry, if we learned anything from 9/11, it's what neighbors can do.
All right, and just so people know, the dog barking in the background, you're at having a dog training class?
That's right.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I hope those dogs are okay. We're talking to Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who's suing a next-door neighbor for growing and showing him large zucchini and cabbage. He says the guy is growing it in a suggestive way, which I've never heard of anything like it. He also says that by virtue of the fact that the man's growing oversized zucchini, it somehow is meant as a comment on Mr. Bozell's manhood, and he is suing. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
At what point does neighborhood bullying include sexual innuendo, especially when it means that a neighbor is growing large-sized zucchini in a home garden as a commentary on your manhood? Mr. Stephen Bozell is with us. He is contemplating a lawsuit against a neighbor who grows oversized zucchini, and you say shows it not only to yourself, but to your wife, to your daughter, as you think a commentary on your manhood. Let's go to Sue on the Phil Henry Show. Mr. Bozell, you there?
I'm right here, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
I'm
Sue.
Right here.
Go ahead, Sue.
I think this guy has more of an issue with zucchini than he's telling us about. I think it's probably one of the vegetables that his mother did him in with when he was a kid. I mean, is he for real?
Are you for real?
I'm for real.
That you take sexual molestation as a joke?
Pardon?
That you think sexual molestation is a joke?
No, I don't think it's a joke. I think this guy who's carrying on about this issue is a jerk.
No, you think that people sexually harassing people is some kind of a joke.
It's not sexually harassing. He's being a nice neighbor.
No, he's not being a nice...
showed me his zucchini.
Right.
I had nothing like that to say about it.
Why do they grow them...
And he grows tomatoes on either side of his zucchini.
Can I ask you a question? Why do they grow them so big?
Why does he grow them so big?
Right.
I've seen lots of big zucchinis. But this man's manhood is threatened by his zucchini. You know what? He really
needs to see somebody more than the
miracle.
9/11 taught us that we're supposed to watch our neighbors for the things they're doing.
Watch
okay.
Our neighbors. We don't
and
neighbors.
I suppose if you had a next door neighbor who showed a zucchini. Do you have a daughter?
Of course.
What do you mean, of course?
I have a daughter.
Okay, so you got a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and you had a next door neighbor showing her some big zucchini and saying, run your hands all over it and everything.
Well, let me be clear. Is your neighbor saying to your little girl, hey, run your hands over this zucchini?
Yes, sir, he is.
Well,
no,
I don't know.
Maybe it's a
vegetable.
I think,
you know what? Maybe you're the perverted neighbor.
I haven't done anything, lady.
A kind neighbor to you.
How's he being a nice neighbor to me when he's coming over and showing me some big John Holmes zucchini?
He's proud of his zucchini.
Okay, I asked him to stop doing it in front of my daughter, though.
Well, that's your problem.
How's that my problem? I just said don't do it in front of my daughter. See, you don't have an answer for that. See, so what we're saying here, Phil, is that this is the kind of harassment that has been going on. I think that with all the molestations that are going on among young people, with all of the things that are happening with young girls being threatened and everything.
Well, you're not a young girl, though. You're a grown man, and...
Well, I think it starts here where some guy goes out, and because he can't, you know, do anything dirty to a kid, he'll grow this kind of vegetable as a phallic innuendo. And I won't allow a garden on my property, and the reason why is because I think I'm a common, decent man trying to live a common, decent life, and I won't have that filth.
All right, let me go to Bill here. Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if this is satire or not, because this guy is just so hard to believe.
I got to ask you, Mr. Bozell, are you doing this as some kind of a joke on the judicial system?
Mr. Henry, I can assure you and your caller, as I just mentioned, there's been a rash of sexual molestation in this country with children being abducted. Why would I make a joke out of that?
sir, you have the issue is not the size of this guy's zucchinis. If he's making these statements that you said to your daughter, then that's a separate issue entirely. It would have nothing to do with the actual size of the zucchini.
No, he's saying to my...
the company that makes the zucchini and what's his name was the spokesman, Whitmore. That's ridiculous. You're blowing this out of proportion.
No, sir. All
one thing has nothing to do with the other.
I'm saying to you, if a man says to a daughter of yours, hey, have you ever seen such a nice big zucchini, and she's running her hands all over it, does that not give you pause?
That might give you pause, but it has nothing to do with this man growing zucchini large. They grow tomatoes large. They grow fruit larger these days. They grow everything larger in order to feed more people, probably. But it has nothing to do with the size. If the guy's acting inappropriately, he's acting inappropriately.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the size of the zucchini. I think you're just bringing that part up because you're a very strange individual looking for some attention.
No, sir. Sir, I don't mind being insulted.
I don't think the gentleman's insulting you. I think he's saying... Is this man being inappropriate with your daughter?
He said to her, he said to my daughter, Cynthia, come on over and see the big zucchini.
And you call that some kind of sexual harassment or molestation of your daughter?
Well, he's hanging this big John Holmes-looking thing in front of her.
It depends on the context, and that would be for a court to determine. If you want to bring this lawsuit, that's fine if you have a basis for it. If not, it's a frivolous suit, and you're the reason why... that, you know, society has become so screwed up in that all we're doing is suing each other now. You're the reason why attorney's fees should be awarded to the winner of a lawsuit when a frivolous lawsuit is brought. That's ridiculous.
Sir, I'm
wasting the resources of the courts and everyone's tax money.
Sir, I'm
why can't you just take this up with your neighbor and deal with it like people used to? It's ridiculous. I'm an attorney and I'm saying this.
Sir, I'm perfectly willing not to prosecute this on a civil matter. I'm asking the local authorities and municipal authorities if they can use some kind of infrared.
What are you talking about, infrared? The issue is not the size of the zucchini. If the man is making inferences to your daughter,
right, exactly.
Then that's another issue. That
right.
is possibly an actionable thing that the police should get in on. But if it's just the size of the zucchini, what that's nothing. That's ridiculous. What are you going to go after, the cucumber and the pickle people next? You're a very strange man.
Sir, I'm a father of two children. I'm a tax-paying business owner. I think it starts with a lot of things. It could be zucchini. The next thing, this guy Hutchins, who's growing avocados and peaches, and he starts showing my daughter how the zucchini and the peach pit fit together or anything like that.
But you didn't hear what this man said. If he's doing something inappropriate, then you talk specifically about that. What did he say? Come on over and look at the zucchini?
Both of you gentlemen know what I'm talking about. Read between the lines. Read between the lines.
I still cannot take you seriously. I believe that you're perpetrating a joke on the radio to make fun of everybody out there. I cannot believe that you are serious about this. It's not possible that you are serious about this.
I'm telling you, and I think that you know what I'm saying, that some things are phallic innuendo. Now, would you not call that harassment?
Just saying to a kid, do you want to see the zucchini I'm growing in my garden, is not necessarily phallic innuendo, as you put it.
Oh, okay. So all of a sudden you're a genius. This other gentleman is an attorney, and I'll certainly go with what he is saying, but I think it's upsetting the thought of a garden owner all of a sudden hanging out zucchinis and everything. That's all I'm trying to say.
What if, let's put it in this context, you show dogs, if you're showing poodles and somebody shows up with a Doberman, is that emasculating your dogs? I mean, that's the extent you're getting to. It's ridiculous. You're just blowing this way out of proportion. I really...
Are you a father, sir? Are you a father?
I can't take it seriously.
Are you a father, sir? Are you a father?
Yes, I am a father.
All right, well, the next time some guy starts growing some John Holmes-looking zucchini next door to you, and your wife and your daughter see this...
John Holmes-looking zucchini.
Yeah, I hope that he offers some up for us so we can cook it up and have a nice meal.
All right, Bill, thanks.
This is ridiculous.
I will tell you what is...
I still don't take you seriously.
What is emasculating is a wiener dog.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. People growing oversized zucchini in gardens. Is it emasculating? Is it a sexual phallic innuendo? This man thinks so. He's suing his neighbor. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
When you go into a supermarket, you do not see them putting out oversized zucchinis in a supermarket. The only place you're going to see that is on these home gardens. And a lot of these people who have these home gardens, these gardens where they're growing their own vegetables in the backyard, have sexual hang-ups, have some kinds of sexual perversions, and are trying some kind of, as I say, sexual innuendo, which I think is wrong. The garden that Mr. Hutchins has, and I took this up with my attorney, is purposefully aimed, if you can believe this, at an empty garage. Now, I have to ask myself, is he sending a message to me? Is he?
What are you saying? Are you saying that the zucchini he's growing is aimed at an empty garage, and so therefore that is some symbol of relations, sexual relations?
Yes, well, I'm saying my attorney said that that is a possibility. All meant and designed to harass my family.
Well, let me go to Jane on the Phil Hendry Show. Jane, go ahead.
Yes, I was just listening to this, and I'm thinking if you're having such a problem with the 911 effect that it had on us, true, it did have an effect on us.
Yes, ma'am, it did.
Tremendous.
Yes, ma'am.
But what should we start watching all of this, and if growing a zucchini that's a large zucchini is having such a profound effect on you, why don't you just buy it from your neighbor, cook it, and eat it?
Ma'am, I'm not going to bring that into my home. As I said to you, it is sexual innuendo.
You're already bringing it into your home. You're making so much of it until now you got your wife and your little daughter involved in it.
I don't know if you have children, but I think as a father
of course,
to stand there.
I have children. I have children, and I teach children. But the thing is, if that zucchini is having such an effect on you, and you're telling your wife is bringing it to your attention and all this, I would just buy the whole lot of the zucchini that he's grown.
Ma'am, I would
tell
you
her, let's cook this stuff, and we'll eat it.
If there's something that the Elizabeth Smart case or any of these cases, these child abduction cases, has taught us, you stand there and you see your little girl. My little girl is 5 years old, and I love her. I worship the ground she walks on. And here's this guy showing her.
Do you know what you're doing to your little girl when you tell her? When you try to, insinuate that a zucchini is doing something and can cause some harm to her other than feel her little tummy, do you know what you're doing to your daughter?
Ma'am, would you not be afraid of for the safety of your children if you saw your neighbor's garden? The man has purposefully grown an overgrown zucchini with cabbage on either side aimed toward an empty garage. You have to read between the lines.
You know what? I would be just as sick as you are sounding to me right now if I had the same mind that you had about a garden. I don't care if it was pointing to an empty garage or the mall.
Ma'am, are you a home gardener?
Well,
no,
you can't
I'm
get
not.
It. You
I don't grow
get...
vegetables, but yeah. I do love them.
Okay, I love vegetables, too. I go to the supermarket, but I've never been to a supermarket where they got some big John Holmes zucchini.
I was just in a little town not too far from Columbus here where they had a giant grown watermelons and they had giant cantaloupes. What if I got offended because the cantaloupes were very, very big? And
I don't understand.
Well, she's saying, what if they were larger than a woman's breasts, okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Larger than a woman's breasts and round and just rounded, perfectly rounded. What if I walked up and said, okay, that's it. Throw all of these out.
Ma'am,
I would be sick as you are.
Ma'am, I would say you take that up with your pastor or who your minister is. Okay?
It's good that you would say that. You need to talk to your pastor.
Why is it that at one end of the zucchini there's cauliflower? Why is it that on either side there's cabbage? Why is it that it's pointed at an empty garage? This man...
Because that's where he planted his garden.
Well, I think you're a woman.
Why don't you
I don't
plant
think
a garden? I tell you what to do. To calm all of this down and to give you a peace of mind, why don't you plant a garden and plant the very same things that he did and show your little girl that they don't all grow
there you
the
go.
Same size?
Yeah, and harvest the zucchini and say, look, zucchini's this big. I know what you're saying, Steve. You go to the supermarket, most zucchini is normal size. My wife grows zucchini, okay?
Did she grow it the big John Holmes size?
Well, you keep saying the big John Holmes size, okay?
I can't grow big zucchini, number one.
Well, you don't have to. You don't have to grow big zucchini.
Well, how come he gets to?
Well, maybe he's using Miracle-Gro. Jesus.
John just needs to get, John needs to find something else to do besides watch that man's garden. That's the problem.
All right, thank you for your call. And to, who's your attorney again?
Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California.
All right, here is, Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, you actually have an attorney that took this case?
Ma'am, sir, I'm sorry. That, Dolores Blazingame is my attorney in Riverside, California.
Well, does she actually think that you have a chance, any
chance at all? What she said to me was that there is a specific laws against neighbors harassing you. There is specific law against neighbors harassing you. Yes, sir.
And you call that harassment, the size of a zucchini. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like you are just insecure because you have a small penis. Is that your problem?
Let me ask you a question. You got a penis the size of a large zucchini? No. What man does? No. But he, this guy is trying to make an issue
out
of that.
Yeah, but listen, pal, we're all, you know, the American average is 6.5 inches. We're all somewhere in the middle. Sounds
okay,
like
that's
you.
Fine. So what's this guy hanging some zucchini, growing it with two cabbages on either side?
Well, that's, he's just growing a zucchini, but you're so insecure, pal, because you have such a small penis that you're taking this as some insult on your manhood.
Well, that's
grow
what
up,
it is, right?
Man.
Let me ask you a question. If somebody called you a bad word like the F word, wouldn't you want to beat him up? If somebody said that you weren't a man, wouldn't you want to beat him up?
Well, what do you mean? Not, I mean, it depends on what they said.
Well, if he said you were gay or you liked other boys or some stuff
well,
like
I
that.
I'd beat him up. I'm just saying, no, I'm not gay. But I mean, so, you know, just the fact that some guy
some guys are not going to get yeah, they're not going to get violent over another
yeah.
guy's comment on their manhood, all right? You had nine you called the police or
I did not call the police.
Well, somebody was frightened enough to call the police over to this guy's house. You got up in this guy's face. You say that this guy showing your daughter a large zucchini was sexual harassment. And you haven't said anything yet as to how that might be the case.
He says, what, look at this. And it's a big John Holmes looking thing.
Big
oh, yeah,
John.
Here you go again with the John Holmes thing. I mean, you know, here you go. You're comparing it to porn stars that, you know, I mean, you're insecure. That's your problem. You're small, buddy, and you don't want to admit it.
Well, okay, fine. Whatever you say.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call.
Wouldn't you be insulted, Mr. Henry, if you were a man and your neighbor brought over a pea pod with two cherry tomatoes attached to the side and said, here you go, Steve. I thought this would make you feel better.
If my name was Steve. What is going on with those dogs?
I don't know, but one of them just leaked out my leg.
That's great. I think your dog is bugged that you're on this show. 1-800-449-8686.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it, man. It's you got your story out.
Well, I do have a hotline number if anybody wants to call and donate to a defense fund. Oh, ha ha.
Go ahead, give your number.
213-251-3189. This is the Steve Ozell Fund where we would like people to donate money for my legal expenses. I'm prosecuting a neighbor who is intent on harassing me by making me feel less of a man by purposefully growing
John Holmes looking zucchini.
Yes, sir. Well, I guess that's it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay. Well, you people with those home gardens, you sick perverts. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I'm Phil Henry. I did the voice there in that last bit of Steve Bozell, and the people who called in thought he was a real guy. Some people ask me, why do you tell everybody how the show is done? And I answer the same way. When you paint a beautiful painting, don't you want to sign your name to the bottom of it? Sure you do. Anyway, if we didn't, then nobody would know what the show is about, and people would think it was just some exposition of mental illness, and they'd move on. But the real genius of this program, if I may use that word, which I think I will, is that we are creating radio theater, satirizing talk radio and the media in general, and giving people a couple laughs in the process, which I think pound for pound we probably give you more laughs than most shows. So that's why we explain it, so that you know exactly what's happening. And believe me, we'll never run out of phone calls. Just take it from the kid. Take it from me, they'll always be there. Now, Our souvenir shop is open on our website, and a couple of things I want to mention. We have two new features up. Actually, one new feature. One is called Phil Down Through History. So go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and you can check out pictures of me as I appeared in various historical moments. For instance, we have a picture on the Phil Down Through History page on our website that shows me. And this is with Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin at the end of World War II. So it's a lot of goofy pictures. Chris took my face and my head, and you just stuck them over somebody else's body. So go to that, and then look at our scrapbook. All of that is free. Now, if you want to go to the audio archive, that's going to cost. That's $6.95 a month. Why? Because it's worth it, believe me, and it's only $6.95 a month. If you want to get the... If you want to hear the show again, if there's hours that you wanted to hear again, if there's a portion of the show that you wanted to hear again, you can go to our archives and listen up to 30 days back. Additionally, our audio archives of short form and long form features are growing by leaps and bounds every day. We're going to pack a few more hundred hours into our audio archives before all is said and done. So it's really worth the money, $6.95 a month. You can buy a 6-month subscription, which saves you money, and I would heartily recommend that because I do see many people opting for the monthly subscription, and it's kind of a waste of dough, but you know, your money is your money. Also, check out our top 100 calls from our July 4th show and many other features there on our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, and look at our souvenir shop as well for the Ted's Beverly Hills bowling shirt and the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, all available there on philhenryshow.com. A lot of things that will be happening in the next few months pursuant to our program I think you'll enjoy. And I don't think I'm jumping the gun when I say we'll be in New York City again, this time on the anniversary of 9/11. We're hoping to spend the entire week in New York City. That would be the days preceding, the days following 9/11. 9/11 itself is going to be a special day in New York. There's going to be quite a few radio stations broadcasting, and we will be there as well. We were one of the first stations to go and broadcast live from New York after the terrible events of 9/11. And we have a few other remotes that we've got planned as the fall months come upon us, so it ought to be a gas. Now, out of the news today, this is the story everybody's talking about. Two men whose van jumped a curb and crashed into pedestrians on Chicago's South Side died after an angry mob pulled them out and beat them with bricks. Autopsies today showed that Anthony Stuckey and Jack Moore, both of Chicago, died from multiple injuries and blunt trauma, a spokeswoman for a hospital said. Their deaths were ruled homicide. Police did not know who was driving the van, which slammed into a limestone building. A 17-year-old woman was in serious condition. Did you hear about this? A 17-year-old woman was in serious condition. Two other women were in fair condition. Virginia Stuckey, the mother of one of the victims, said she doesn't believe that anyone would kill someone like that. Moore and Stuckey lived in the neighborhood. So these two guys apparently lost control of their van. We don't know if there was any alcohol involved. There may not have been. And the people just pulled them right out of the van and beat them to death with bricks. And I recall driving to work one night in St. Paul, Minnesota, on ice and snow, and a car right in front of me. If you've ever driven in snow and you hit the brakes too fast, you will lose control of your car. There's no question. It's just to what degree. And these guys, suddenly I saw the car start to fishtail. Now, understand, I'm on an interstate. They're no more than 5 car lengths in front of me. And suddenly I'm seeing their car fishtailing, and now the car is completely perpendicular to the line of travel of my car. I hit my brakes, and the two of us sort of slide right off into a snowbank. And luck, I'm good looking. I say my prayers at night. I got a guardian angel. Something, my car stops short of the wall and hit a snowbank, and I just sort of locked it up in there. I got a 4-wheel drive Blazer at the time. These two guys had some late model Dodge. A couple of guys, I don't want to mention their race, got out, and I walked up to them. I said, "Are you guys okay?" And man, you could smell the single barrel Jack D 2 blocks away. Just, "Yeah, we're fine." Just the brewery scent of Gordon's gin is a wonderful thing during an automobile accident. That ever happened to you? You're involved in an accident and you get out and you're like, "Are you okay?" "Uh-huh." And all of a sudden, pig's eye, man, Ham's beer just wafts over you like a bedeviling cloud. And that's all I needed to know And I turned around and I got out of there. I said, I don't care if you're dead. I don't care if you guys are crippled for life. And unfortunately, they weren't. They both got out of the car and they're looking around. And one of them said to the other, let's get out of here. So, and they should have said, let's get out of here, because as I said, the stench of Johnny Walker, black or red, I haven't yet been able to figure out which, or it could have been a pre-done Julio Blanco, the stench of that was just permeating the St. Paul night was enough to drive me back into my car. So I take off. And as I take off, I look in my rearview mirror to see these two knuckleheads pull back onto the interstate and do it again. Do it again. They start fishtailing again, only this time some guy didn't look like he saw them in time. And I just sort of covered my eyes and continued driving on in the ice and snow until I ran into somebody. No, I didn't cover my eyes, but I just didn't want to watch. So I'm not saying these guys deserve to get the crap kicked out of them, and certainly I don't think a man is deserving of being beaten to death, but if I'd had a brick that night many years ago in St. Paul, there's no telling what I would have done with it. I might have started rioting. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number, and that's just one of the things. Everybody was talking about that today, and I guess the other thing that everybody's talking about today is American Idol. Is that on tonight or last night? On last night? What happened? I missed it. Okay. So they eliminated one more person. How many got left? And if you've never seen American Idol, it's a very cool show where people come on and sing, and there's three judges, Paula Abdul, that Simon dude. How many judges? Six? So six people left. There's three judges, Paula Abdul, that Simon dude from England. He's a British guy with the very acerbic and sarcastic sense of humor, and one other person, and it's enjoyable to watch Simon rip into these people. You know, someone will get done singing, and there was one night I was watching this guy. He wasn't too good. He was trying to do that Jeffrey Osborne national anthem before a Knicks game thing. You know, is a modern generation a singer? Is my imagination, or they're now trying to see how many notes they can hit within a note, and it's only happened since Michael Jackson. It was a band, Soundgarden. You remember Savage Garden. And these guys were real different. And the guy would, I can't even do it. I wouldn't even attempt to do it. And I'm not saying that they're bad singers. But there is a whole generation of singers trying to hit a note. And within that one note, 16 other notes. Oh, say, can you see? Yeah, Aaron Neville, I think, started the whole thing. Aaron Neville with the big mole on his head. Look at my face. I'm getting a little older. Yeah, I don't know. So one night, this Simon just tore into this guy. He was walking away holding his rear end. So you got to watch this. It's on tonight. It was on last night, next week. There's six left, so the show is continuing. And, man, that thing is a killer. You want to know why? Because it's a Brit giving crap to a bunch of dumb Americans. Just like that. What's her name? Anne Robinson. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686.
Are you in Cape Cod right now, Jeff?
We are in Cape Cod, Phil, near where a lot of these whales beach themselves. We came out from California yesterday because we were very concerned about these idiots that have been trying to push these whales back into the ocean. I mean, these people are absolute, utter idiots, only doing the whales more harm, only hurting the pods more harm. We came out here from California last night to basically send a message to the people around Cape Cod that they're idiots, and it's just a very frustrating situation right now.
Where there's been something like, I don't know, how many whales have beached themselves over the last several days?
Somewhere in the neighborhood, Phil, 49 is the count that we have.
All right, 49 whales have beached themselves. You're saying the people that are trying to get them back into the water are idiots?
Well, understand, I've followed whales. They've been a passion of mine for much of my life. Whales will distance themselves from the pod when they are defective or when they are they're not a part of the society any longer. These whales that are beaching themselves are what our society would call retarded. They are socially outcast, and so they are distanced by the pod. The pod will pick a course, for instance, a southerly course, and they will get the other whales, the ones that are beaching themselves, to go in a different direction. It's not unlike if we gave somebody false directions to get rid of them. And the pod is trying to get rid of these retarded whales. And these idiots that I've talked to more idiots in Massachusetts over the last day going, yeah, man, we're going to get the whales back in the water. Yeah, man. I'm like, you've got to be so stupid if you don't understand that these whales are retards or and again, I don't want to use that word.
Okay, well, if we don't want to use that word, would we say that they're just defective or they're social outcasts from the pod?
That is correct, and that's why they are beaching themselves. I say they're a whale version of a retard. In other words, they're whale retards, and they're doing natural selection. And that's what they're doing. They're doing natural selection. And I said to Toby Bowe, who's also come out to Massachusetts with me, because Toby studies whales too. He also works for Bolsa Chica Seal Beach in their beach services, emergency services department. And we were having dinner last night, and I said the irony of what's going on in Massachusetts right now is these retards are trying to push these whales back out in the ocean, and the whales are trying to push back out in the ocean are stupid too. So, you know, if I could quote Julius Caesar's commentaries, what he said to Brutus, it takes one to know one, and I think that's the situation we've got.
All right, Jeff Dowder is with us from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, right now, where some 50 whales beach themselves. People whom you are calling idiots.
I don't mean to be cruel, but...
Well, I think you are being cruel by calling them idiots. These are well-meaning people who are trying to save these whales.
Well, well-meaning. If they're well-meaning, then what we did is we flew out last night from California because we've got to get a lot of these people along the East Coast familiarized with what's going on. A lot of them don't know how this is done. There's a lot of dumbness on the beach these days, and you can almost smell the stupid when you walk the beaches of Cape Cod, Phil.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So the people that are trying to get these whales back in the water are idiots. They ought to leave them to die.
They should leave them to die. These retarded whales, or if you will, socially outcast whales, have separated from the pod because they were so stupid that they can't even keep up with the pod of whales that is going south. So they're beached as a way of doing natural selection. What these idiots are doing in Massachusetts by trying to put the whales back in the water is nothing more than further humiliating the whales. And we're saying they ought to call it a day, quit being complete idiots, and quit making idiots out of the whales, putting blankets on them, and making them look even dumber with these blankets. They do the same retarded things that human retarded people do.
How does the pod know, if you're saying that these are retarded whales or defective whales, how does the pod know these whales are mentally challenged or damaged, if you will?
Well, it is similar to humans. The whale takes on the same look that a human does. The forehead is larger, the eyes are spread, they tend to be heavier, they tend to stop and do stupid stuff. I mean, I'll put it in human terms. They mess around with fish they're not supposed to, and they act like idiots. And
what is your background in the study of whales?
Well, I worked at Marineland in Palos Verdes as a bait hauler. I'm 20 credits shy of my associate arts degree in marine biology. The other thing that you have to understand too, Phil, yesterday I saw these idiots trying to roll a whale back in. Three of them were cross-eyed, so that gives you an idea. I mean, they just... You know, they're just not. They also have a slack jaw look, a slack flippered, and they swim south. Most of the whales to have babies, and then they go back to Alaska.
All right, Jeff. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about the whales that beach themselves on the East Coast and the humans that were attempting to help them, which you call nothing more than complete idiots. And I would think that would hurt somebody's feeling.
Well, I need to explain something, Mr. Henry, because I've lived at the beach my whole life. I have seen whales. I lived 7 years in Malibu Canyon. Every winter I'd see the whales as they swam south. And one of the things to understand is most of the people in your listening audience live in the interior of the country. They've never been to the beach, and so they don't know what a whale is. And the best way to do it, to describe a whale, is it is a large fish with one exception, which science is trying to figure out. It's a fish, but it breathes. And it has a hole that shoots water out of it, which they don't know what that's about. It breathes air, and it also shoots water out of a hole. So science is still studying the whale, and it is a fish. And that's, and the other thing that people who live in the interior of the country have never been to the beach and don't know anything about whales should understand, that whales are on the danger species list. And that means that there's a lot of countries that do, you know, hunt them for flubber.
What, you said flubber? What is it called?
I'm sorry, it's called blubber.
All right, so a lot of countries hunt whales for their blubber, and it is a contentious point.
It is contentious between the United States, specifically Japan and Norway. And all we're trying to do is tell these morons in Massachusetts. See, we flew out from California late last night. It's kind of like nature's lawn sprinkler. It has that spout. And retarded people simply should not be trying to push retarded whales back in the ocean. We flew in from California late last night to tell people that and to let them know how the whale works, because a lot of them are not familiar with that.
All right. So you're in Cape Cod right now. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm with Toby Bo, who is with me. And as I said last night, we were talking a lot about that.
All right. Now, these people are doing the best they can to help suffering animals. We should herald their efforts, should we not?
Well, I think it's a sad reality because of the distance from the ocean, as I said. Most of your listeners don't know. And a lot of these retards, and I don't mean to call them retards, but a lot of these people in Massachusetts don't know what's going on.
All right, let me talk to Marjorie. Marjorie, I know you're in New England right now.
Yes, I'm in Maine.
Go ahead.
I'm originally from Massachusetts.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to say a couple of things. You don't know who you're talking to. He has no degree in marine biology.
My associated arts degree.
Hi, guess what? On Cape Cod, this happens often. You have the National Institute of Oceanographic Studies at Woods Hole, and the Boston Aquarium is known for rescuing whales. So you're talking about a population in Massachusetts that has credentials and has knowledge of what to do.
Yeah.
I doubt that we're talking about a beachcomber finding a group of whales and deciding to do something. You're talking about a state where there's been some great, great oceanographic work.
Well, if they're so great, then how come the whales are turning right around and beaching themselves?
It's
these
very
whales
common.
Are mentally
it happens,
defective.
It happens every year on
exactly.
the
Cape. And these retards that are trying to push them back into the ocean don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know
and
what? You ought to get in touch with the Boston Aquarium, because they do a lot of whale work, and they are known rescuing whales.
Can we get the Boston Aquarium on the line, and maybe we can do something with
that? I think you're going to find
well,
they're closed at this time, and I believe
they're closed.
The director was a Mr. Prescott. I'm not sure that
he
still is.
It's 8:15 right now, Mr. Henry, in the area that I'm at.
And I'm also suggesting, Mr. Henry, that you call the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, and tell them who you are.
Is this hold on for a minute? Is this Dr. Stevens?
Yes, sir.
Doctor, are you an oceanographer? What are you?
I'm a marine biologist.
You're a marine biologist. I'm sorry. What'd you say, Marjorie?
I said you're in luck. Now
okay.
You've got a marine biologist.
Okay. You're a marine biologist.
That is correct.
All right, Doug. Could I ask?
Hold on for a minute. I want to ask the doctor some questions. Why are these whales beaching themselves?
Well, the young man is not incorrect when he says that they are a defective element from a pod that was obviously traveling to the southern reaches somewhere in the Caribbean or along the coast of the Central American coast, where much of the mating happens and a lot of the calving happens. But I would say that he's very, very harsh in his criticism of people, well-meaning, albeit...
Are they stupid?
Well, I don't want to call them stupid. I'm saying that they're pushing whales out to turn around and go back. So how is the lady's name Marjorie?
Yes.
How dumb is that? You know what I'm saying?
Right, but all I'm
suggesting is... You know, a whale, you push it out, then it comes back.
Right.
You do look a little stupid.
That's what I'm saying. They look stupid putting a blanket on it.
All I'm suggesting is that in Massachusetts, we have two great institutions working with marine life.
What makes the whale retarded?
Well, many times the mother whale has eaten bad plankton during pregnancy, and that will make a retarded whale.
All right, Marjorie, make a retarded whale.
That is correct. Well, what are you laughing at?
What? Excuse me?
What are you laughing at?
Sir, I'm just listening to you.
I'm a marine biologist.
I'm on a highway in Maine. I'm not laughing at you, sir.
I'm listening
to your conversation as best I can.
It's not unlike women who drink during pregnancy, is what I'm saying.
Eating bad plankton.
Yes, sir.
All right, Marjorie, thank you for your call.
Oh, you're welcome. You ought to check out the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute.
Yeah,
bye.
I don't think very much of them.
Why?
There are a lot of crackpots.
Oh, that's not.
I think they are.
So.
Well, I've known. Do you know Dr. Wellington there?
No, I don't.
Okay, he is a real jackass. But
all right, hold. Just thank you. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Jeff Dowder, who is in Massachusetts, as whales have beached themselves. He calls the people that are trying to push the whales back into the ocean idiots, and he says that they are only doing something that is against nature. He says all those people in Massachusetts that are trying to push the whales back into the water are morons. The whales themselves are too stupid to live. Let them die. And we're going to find out more of what Jeff's going to be doing in Massachusetts over the next couple of days. He flew in last night from California to try and talk some sense into these East Coasters. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking to Jeff Dowder in Cape Cod about the whales that have beached themselves over the last couple of days. It's kind of a sad thing to see these whales do this, but you say it's entirely natural.
Yes, sir, it is entirely natural. As part of the process of the pod weeding out the retarded whales.
I'd like, Mr. Hendry, if I could, to jump in.
This is Dr. Wireman, is a marine biologist.
Yes. The whales are in human society, we can put a retarded child in a sanitarium or in a lunatic asylum. But the whale obviously doesn't have that option. It is driven from the pod by other whales and beaches itself. Now, I will agree with the young man when he says those people in Massachusetts are a little stupid, pushing whales back into the ocean when all they're going to do is turn around and come right back out.
But aren't those professionals?
The people that are pushing the whales into the ocean?
Yes, sir. Aren't those professionals? Aren't they affiliated with some kind of oceanographic institute?
No, these are just idiots that got out of their car and saw whales, and they're pushing them back in. And it's
I think it's a shame, Mr. Henry, to also... we flew in from California last night to give people... a little bit of an idea of how to do things. A lot of people on the East Coast, because they don't have the same kind of surf that we have on the West Coast, by that I mean it's the good waves and everything, they don't see a lot of the sea life that we do. And it's something we're constantly having to do. I just flew in last night.
I understand you flew in last night. You've said that about 9 times, that you flew in last night.
Well, I understand that, but I flew in with Toby Bowe to try... And
who again is Toby Bowe?
He's a friend who studies whales, too.
He's a friend of yours, huh?
I don't know these gentlemen. Does he have a doctorate?
No, he doesn't have no doctorate, but you'll notice that whales rarely do this on the West Coast. And the reason why whales rarely do this on the West Coast is because they don't have as much bad plankton that the mothers eat to cause a retard whale.
Well, I've never heard anything like that, but it has a certain amount of what we call whaledom is really the easiest way to say it.
Whaledom.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. And I think I hear, I don't know where they are, but I'm listening to some of the whales that are off of the coast right now. Are they communicating? That's what I'm hearing right now.
That's right. That's a whale. They're going right now down to, they're going south, I think. And Toby Bo's on a beach right now. We'll be looking at them and talking to them, too. But a lot of them...
Sounds like there's a good crowd of them.
Yeah, it's a pretty good crowd now, but most of these idiots are going to try to roll them back in anyway, so we're just going to try to keep them from rolling them on out.
Yeah, Phil?
Yes, sir, Dr. Wireman.
I don't know who this guy is that you're talking to. I've been a marine biologist for the last 40 years. I work out of the Scripps Institute in Oceanside, California. And I will tell you that the whales have a highly defined society. And I, while it is true that defective whales are oftentimes pushed from the center pod, I've never heard of them called retard. And
well, a lot of the whales are just saying, leave the retards on the beach.
What do you mean the whales are saying, leave the retards on the beach?
As they're going by.
Wait a minute, the whales that are traveling south?
Yes, sir.
Are saying, leave the retards on the beach.
Yes, sir. Toby Bo's down here now in a mind meld.
Mind meld? Holy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The story and heartbreaking reversal of Monday's dramatic rescue of 46 beached pilot whales. I'm hearing whales, right?
Yes, sir.
And they're saying, leave the retards on the beach.
That's my understanding.
Well, I don't know what in sweet Jesus.
All right, in a dramatic reversal, 46 beached pilot whales officially abandoned all hope of saving the creatures. They just abandoned hope. They're not going to be able to save them. You're calling the people there in Massachusetts trying to save these whales.
Idiots. Just idiots. And they should leave them alone and let them, because we flew in from California.
Yeah, I know, late last night.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's kind of a sad story that's going on there in Massachusetts, but these whales apparently do this every so often. They beach themselves, and then the next thing you know, they're dead. You know, I don't know what you do with a beached whale either. Do you, if it doesn't want to go back in the water, do you just go ahead and anesthetize or euthanize it? I believe that's probably the answer. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Jeff, what do we get out of whales again?
We get a flubber, which is something the Japanese want.
We get flubber.
Or flubber, I don't know what it's called.
If I could.
Go ahead.
It's called blubber.
Well, what's flubber?
Flubber's that stuff from the movie, okay?
It's called blubber, and the Japanese like it for... whatever, what they do with it. I don't know what they do with it.
They roll it up and play with it or whatever. You can also burn it as fuel. But we'll get rubber.
It's called blubber, you dumbass.
All right, gentlemen, come on. You know, what I want to do is have some kind of a consistently intelligent conversation about the fate of these animals.
Well, I don't understand how I'm supposed to have an intelligent conversation with some dumbass who calls it flubber. Now,
well, you call me a dumbass if you want, but at least I'm not down there trying to roll a whales back in the ocean, which is the stupidest thing that I've ever seen. I flew in from California
late last night, right?
Yeah.
You've said that about 16 times, man. You're also showing a sort of chauvinistic attitude.
Well, they don't beach themselves in California, that's for sure.
All right, well, we are talking about the beached whales and the attitude on your part that you might as well just let them die.
That is correct, sir. Let the whales die. I think we've seen too many Free Willy movies. I think we've seen too many. I think we've been to SeaWorld to see Shamu one too many times. I think we've, been to Marineland and the Seaquarium to see Lolita. It's just a matter of going down to the beach, which Toby and I are going to do tomorrow after these retards who are trying to push them into the ocean clear off the beach, get back in their Winnebagos and start eating some of their macaroni and cheese and playing checkers and watching TV. We'll get down on the beach and just go ahead and put them out of their misery.
Well, how are you going to do that?
What do you mean you're going to put them out of their misery?
We'll just pop them. Put a cap in their ass. The whale hits the beach, you could cap its ass.
What do you mean cap its ass? Are you trying to tell me you're going to... This is a violation of federal law, Phil.
You're not going to be shooting any whales. Do you understand that?
Well, then I'm supposed to sit there and look some Massachusetts retard push it in? I got a .22 caliber. Also, Toby Bowe's got a 9mm.
Boy, you got to put a cap in a whale's ass.
Yeah. Better than that, the Japs harpoon them.
The Japanese are harpooning them, and it's part of it's a violation of international treaty. If you shoot a whale, you're breaking federal law.
Is that true, Mr. Henry?
What are you asking me for? I brought you on the show as the expert. I got 20 credits shy of my AA degree. In marine biology.
Well, I would think that a whale would rather have a cap in his ass than
have this. Well, this cap his ass stuff to me, Phil, is a simple explanation of a man that doesn't know what he's talking about. These whales are obviously irritated by something in the water. And
well, these Massachusetts retards are making these poor whales like they have dresses on, putting a blanket. I cap that.
All right, thanks a lot, okay?
Well, I'd like to say...
we could get a Kevorkian down there.
I'd like to...
Shut up. 1-800-449-8686. From yesterday's show, we had Deb Turner on to say she found a way to keep her husband from having a heart attack. She hit another guy's car. She didn't want her husband to find out about it because their insurance rates would go through the roof. So Deb worked out a deal with the other motorists.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I don't remember the lady's name, but then again, she's not a lady.
My name is...
How the hell do you perform oral sex on a guy that gives you his word he's not going to report it? Now, if he reports it, what happens? What happens then? Your husband finds out you were a slut in an alley, and you still dirtied the car.
He told me that he wasn't going to say anything.
He told you?
And so far, he hasn't.
He told you?
He hasn't told
you know what?
Anything.
Honey.
Oh.
I don't know how old you are, but your brain didn't grow with your body.
Wait a second. He told me he wasn't telling Jerry. He hasn't told Jerry. He kept his word.
He kept his word?
Yes.
And you kept his putts in your mouth.
You
did he give it to you in writing also? You know what?
You're a stupid lady.
I'm not going to even wait for your answer because I'm not going to stay on the air that long. You did a stupid thing. Your husband would have less respect for you if he finds this out than he would have if you came to him like a woman and said, look, I banged up the car.
But
big deal.
You don't know my husband. All right.
I don't care about anybody
would
does, but I wouldn't.
I would rather perform oral sex on Osama bin Laden than have him find out.
Oh, you know what? You would like to perform oral sex on every man that walked the street, and you'll have an excuse why you did it.
You know something that's really insulting?
No, it's
I'm
not. What you did is an insulting to women.
Do I tell him
you
what
insult
happened?
Women. You lower the standard of a woman by saying the things you've just said. You take your marriage and you throw it in the garbage can by saying
marriage.
What you said. Talking to you is a waste of my time.
I'm trying
because
to get
you
to
no, don't tell me you
have you been
to perform oral sex on a bum in an alley to protect your husband. Protect your husband from what? From what are you protecting him? From
protecting
a piece of garbage
from,
that he married?
No,
you're protecting yourself.
From the possibility of a stroke. And I don't want
to
have
a stroke. If he didn't have a stroke living with a piece of garbage like you till now, believe me, the man will want to die when he finds out what he's lived with all these years. That's why
women,
men die first.
Most
because
women,
they want to get away from women like you.
You know that most women would perform all sex.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
For knocking over the China.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
Hobo
you,
Kelly.
Yeah. Not most women.
Well, I think you've been in
with
have
women.
You been in an abusive relationship?
I've worked
in an abusive
everybody.
Relationship.
You're a
low
light.
All
you
right.
can make excuses.
Thank
please.
You.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, there you go. That's one way of getting out of having the insurance go up. That's Deb. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
One 800-449-8686. Now Phil Hendry.
A website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Retard whales. All right, well, it's an explosive word, and you can apply it to most anything in life, can't you? That word retard, nobody. It's wrong. It's just a wrong thing. Although we have come full circle now. Certain words are... Do you recall when, and many of you may not recall, when Archie Bunker first was on the air, All in the Family, he used the word Heeb on the air all the time. I'll never forget that. He's, hey, you Heebs downtown. Hey, Meathead, you and your Heeb friends, you know? You can't hear that anymore. That show had that all the time, and now we've cycled back to something else. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know where we are right now, and... terms of entertainment, but you can't say heeb, and you can't say retard, and a few other things. And maybe that's good. Maybe that's a good thing. Because I think sometimes you can take that word and apply it to things, and you've taken people into another world, you know. Retard whales getting washed up on the beach. Are you a cetacean? No, I come from Earth. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. So, in Fort Bragg, women apparently are killing their husbands, and husbands are killing their wives. I don't know if you heard about this, but some Afghanistan veterans are coming back and are blowing their wives away. And I think it's because, I don't know why, but I think it's because, see, they got all these doctors that want to figure it out. Why are these Afghanistan veterans coming back and shooting their wives? I think four of them have shot their wives, and then just most recently, yesterday, one of the wives shot the husband. Is it the stress from being in combat? Is there some Agent Orange type chemical that has modified their behavior? I think they came home and found their wives cheating. They just got home and she wasn't there. She was with somebody else. See, that's the number one cause. If you look back on past wars, that's the number one cause of a guy getting off the ship, going home, taking a gun and shooting his wife. She was cheating on him. And don't think that this is new. This has happened in every single war that's ever been fought. Guy gets off the boat, guy goes home, sees his wife, pulls a gun, blows her brains out. Why? She was not faithful to him. And it may well be that he was not faithful to her either. That may have been the case in the one that took place here yesterday. Because it was the wife killing the husband for some unknown reason. I don't want to speculate, but that was the news that a wife shot her husband. It's all happening in Fort Bragg in North Carolina. I think that's North Carolina. And again, it may be some kind of a mentality having to do with a cheating husband or a cheating wife. And what happens, you know, when people go far, far away. You know, we all like to think that people are going to wait for us. We all like to believe that. Have you ever had a long-distance relationship? I've had like six of them. That's how stupid I am. Now, it's one thing when you get shipped out and go to war. Well, right now I know my friend Craig has a long-distance relationship, and when I say long-distance, she's in Japan. I know she's coming back in September. You go away to war, and you go far, far away, and you're sitting there, and we all know the image of our good GIs. They're writing a letter home, dear honey, this is what's going on. Today we met the enemy, and who knows, I may not live to see tomorrow. And then he gets home, and he finds out that she was sleeping with the manager of the bowling alley. I mean, that's going to bring you down a couple of notches. You're over there, and you're eating dirt. You're fighting Al-Qaeda. You got your face in the dust. You got your face in the stuff. You're eating all kinds of food. It's got granules of sand in it. You're sleeping. It's 186 degrees, but what's keeping you going? I'll tell you what's keeping you going. That picture of that little girl in your wallet. You see her face, and that keeps you moving forward. I keep a picture of my wife on my desk. That's the only thing that gets me through the hell of every day here at the old radio station. And then you get home and you find out that she took up with a guy who bags groceries over here at Piggly Wiggly. And suddenly all you want to do is find a plasma rifle. You're a soldier. You're the toughest and bravest and best that we have. And you come home and your wife is making it with the kid that sets pins at a bowling alley. That ain't cool. That'll bring you down. That'll knock a few inches off of your overall height. I had a number of long distance relationships. Not that I was in the Army or anything, but you know, she was up in Portland, and another one was in Minneapolis. And I think another one was in Hong Kong. I don't know what. It's a way of not committing, but it's got nothing to do with anything. I don't even know why I'm bringing my life into this. It's just that I wanted to somehow see if I could fake you guys into believing that I was a soldier in Afghanistan. I had many long-distance relationships. And I'd get there, and there she was waiting for me at the airport, and I'd shoot her and go home. No, it has nothing to do with what these guys are going through. But it's got to be a major bummer. And then there's the guy that came back from the Gulf War, and he got shot. Not by his wife or a girlfriend or anything else. He just was walking down the street and got shot. Anything can happen. But it's a... You know, it's got to be a really traumatic experience for these guys to get back here after having fought the wars that they've fought and after having done the things that they've done. And she introduces you to some guy with the waterfall effect curl. Hi, this is Ed, and he's, well, what does he do? Well, right now he's working the meat counter over at, he's working the meat counter at the deli. He's slicing sandwiches up over at Stottlemyre's. He's slicing turkey breast. Fort Bragg, they're killing their wives, and the wives are killing the husbands. I hope that it never happens to me. I mean, getting shot, that is. Because I got no plans on cheating on my wife, you understand what I'm saying? And I really have to tell you, probably if I caught Maria cheating on me with another guy, that I'd kill her. I'd kill her. But I also know there's a precedent in this country for getting guys off in crimes of passion. There is a precedent. I don't know how old it is, but they used to let guys walk if they found out you found your wife in bed with another guy and you blew his brains out and hers. Sometimes they let you just walk right out of the court. Well, I understand. Thank you, Judge. That's not a problem at all. Go ahead. Just pay the fine. Goodbye. Thank you. What is the fine? $6. Just here it is. What did you do? Well, I came in, and there he was. His rear end's up in the air. Well, I can understand. And I took out I had a Gatling gun, and I just went ahead. I went to work on the whole house. All right, well, you're off. Go. You know, I'm not saying that I'm an abusive man. I've never laid a hand on my wife in any violent way. But if I found her in bed with another guy, I'm pretty sure I'd kill her. Don't you think? Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? Or you could do like a guy I knew named Shorty. When his wife was in bed with another guy, he walked into the room and she said, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "I'm just going to go take a crap and pack my bags and leave." And that's what he did. But how do you resist picking up a rifle when a guy is using your wife's rear end as a salad bowl? I would, with all honesty, I don't own a gun for that very... Well, I do own a gun, but not for that reason. It's for the protection of my home. But since my wife is never going to be killed by me, I don't think I'm saying anything that's going to indict me, right? Although if she winds up shot dead, dead in the street someplace, the first guy they're going to look for is me, right? Thank you. Just keep the tape of this show so I can say, look, if anything happens to you, honey, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. I'm pretty sure she'd kill me, too. In fact, I think she told me the same thing. Joe, if anything happens to me, it was my wife, but please don't do anything to her because it was a crime of passion. She pretty much told me she'd blow my brains out, too. And that's what love's all about. That's the basis of a committed relationship. First thing you get out of the way, you cheat on me, I cheat on you, we blow each other's brains out. You got it. Great. All right. Now we can move on. Plus, a vial of her blood around my neck, and that always kind of works. Love's beautiful, isn't it? Sick, twisted... Oh, by the way, speaking of love, our souvenir shop now has the Ted's of Beverly Hills shirt, as well as the, Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, and it has our Best Of CDs going back to 1997, so it's all there under one roof. Now, if you want to pick up the Best of CDs or the Tens of Beverly Hills or the Jay Santos T-shirt, just go to the souvenir shop on our website at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And don't forget, the sale of our CD, all of the money from the sale of our CD goes to My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. That's My Friend's Place, and we've been, you know, basically laying our money on them for the last 7 years. We're very, well, 5 years, give or take a couple. And we're very happy to do that, too, because they've got a great resource center over there on Hollywood Boulevard. And I think they actually put my name on the building. And I haven't been over there to see it, but I actually have a wing named after me. And that's nice, isn't it? And, you know, that's what happens when you get enough money, man. They'll name a stadium, a wing, anything after you. I really wanted to name the stadium at our kids' high school, you know, Hendry Stadium or something, but I think it took about $2 million. And I think the guy that finally named it, I don't even think he knows what a football is. It's just, you know, enough money to name it after. What happens if a guy comes along with more money? Do they rename the stadium? You know, is it the Rose Bowl forever, or how did it get named the Rose Bowl? All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Plus, somebody planted a bomb in Jerusalem today at the Hebrew University. Good job. Well, you guys are really moving forward, aren't you? You're really going to get what you want with those kind of moves. You talk about desperate and stupid. There's no end to it, man. They planted a bomb in the cafeteria at the Hebrew University. Yeah, that's definitely going to get a whole lot done for your people, the Palestinian people. I got an idea. Why don't you build a house? Why don't you pave a street? Why don't you make sure the toilet's flush? Why don't you clean out the sewer? Why don't you make sure that there's some food in the refrigerator? Build a freeway. Make some cars. There's a nice use of your time. Blow yourself up away from people. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Passengers aboard doomed Flight 93 broke down the cockpit door with a food cart on September 11th, sending the hijacked airliner hurtling toward the ground in western Pennsylvania, according to a new book. The book is called Among the Heroes. It was published yesterday by HarperCollins, and an assistant U.S. attorney told relatives of those aboard about the use of a food cart as a battering ram when he met with him 3 months ago in Princeton, New Jersey. The family members were not identified. The New York Times reported Tuesday that law enforcement sources consider the food cart raid as one of the theories of what happened aboard that flight. The book, written by Times reporter Jerry Longman, says the entire struggle for the plane took about 5 minutes, and according to the book's account, the passengers began trying to force their way into the cockpit around 9:58 a.m., Longman writes, quote, "More shouting, then the words roll it, pull it up, or lift it up are heard, or turn up. A final rushing sound is heard, and about 3 minutes after 10, the tape goes silent." So if the last words they hear are people speaking English and using obviously kind of aviation terms, roll it or turn it up, or what civilians may be familiar with, then it sounds to me like they took some towel wrappers and, you know, did some serious damage to them. And by the way, you know, I've had people say, how dare you use the term towel wrapper? You know, more and more I'm getting comfortable with that term. I'm getting comfortable with that term because I think there's nothing wrong with having a bit of fun with someone's cultural affectations. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. A guy chooses whether he wants to wrap a towel around his head or not, doesn't he? He doesn't choose his race. He doesn't even necessarily choose his nationality, although, yes, he does to some degree, because you can certainly move around the world if you want to. Racist comments, you know, because someone is black or Mexican, I don't think have any place, but I think it's fun to take note of the different cultural affectations of people and have a couple of laughs. And towel wrapper, to me, is a wonderful way of exercising an extreme level of anger that I have about what happened to my country on September the 11th without going down the usual camel jockey route. Although camel jockey works pretty good, too. So, you see, if you have a problem with that, you're out of luck. And you're going to continue to have to hear it, because that's what you are. You're a towel winder. Just like I'm the devil. I'm the great Satan. I'm a Yankee. I think Sand N I would draw the line at, Craig. By the way, some of the nation's largest airlines are cutting back their September 11th flight schedules, bowing to Americans' reluctance to fly on the anniversary of the attack. Oh, please. Please. American and United, the two biggest carriers, are making unspecified reductions for that day based on weak bookings. By the way, Craig's girlfriend, Nikki, is flying home on 9/11. Nice knowing you, Nikki. She sure hope you really liked having that girlfriend, Craig, because she is going to be in a life and death struggle with some turban wrapper up in the cockpit using a drink cart. Unease about another terrorist strike is behind the decline in bookings. But so are patriotism and remembrance, according to interviews with consumers, travel agents, and industry experts. To me, said Donnie Rose, a 49-year-old policeman from Cambridge, Ohio, it's a national holiday now. Well, that's not a bad reason not to fly a 9/11. And if, in fact, it is a national holiday, how come we're working? But moving along, but you'll notice we work on Labor Day anyway. Labor Day. Get it? Union members don't work. I'm the guy that's in here, and who's at home? The bosses. And they don't belong to no union, last time I checked. However, even for a midweek in September, a traditionally slow travel period, numerous agencies nationwide say they have noticed a particular reluctance among both business and leisure travelers to make reservations around September 11, which falls on a Wednesday. A lot of people don't want to travel that day just for the feeling of it. Well, it has meaning, I understand that. But if people are not flying because they're afraid of a terrorist strike, you guys have got to start getting with the program a little bit. I mean, you really got to dial in, okay? Clue in, dial in, earth to you guys. How safe do you think it's going to be flying on September the 11th? You might as well be hermetically sealed. You might as well be the boy in the bubble. You might as well be that guy in Escape from New York in your own little presidential pod. It couldn't be any safer. They could wrap you up and mail you, man. It's like you have your own jet. As a matter of fact, that's a good day to fly, Craig, because there ain't going to be nobody on the plane. We can sit in first class. Who's going to throw us out? I just wish we could get over a lot of these things. You know, when we went back to New York in October of last year, people said, you must be out of your mind, you must be crazy, why would you fly, are you afraid of more terrorist strikes? I said, no, I'm not. I've looked at the situation, I recognize it for what it is, an instance, frightening though it may be, but an instance in our history, and I believe it's safe to fly, and I am going to fly, and not only that, we're flying into Newark, which is where those planes were, two of the planes were jacked out of, and so what do you want from me? And of course my kids were very upset, and there were a lot of people, my kids especially, a lot of people that I knew that were upset. We were going to New York in October, and why would you take a chance like that? Why not? So we're going to go back to New York this September, and we're going to be there for the 9/11 ceremonies. And I don't know what they have in mind, but apparently they're going to have hundreds of radio stations around the Ground Zero area. We're going to try to be there from Monday through Friday because we'd like to squeeze a free trip to New York out of it. And also because we want to observe 9/11. And we think it should be a memorable broadcast, although we're just going to do the show that we do and periodically mention, oh yeah, we're in New York, just the same way we did back in October. According to this story, more than 3,000 people died on 9/11 after suicidal hijackers crashed commercial jetliners into the Trade Center, and air travel fell dramatically after those attacks. It did make a strong comeback. But government measures have helped invigorate the ailing industry, including a multi-billion dollar bailout. So not all of it was us. A lot of it was the gov giving them money. But I just don't understand, and maybe you guys can help me, why you would be afraid to fly when the airline industry is perhaps never before have they been so vigilant and so observant of security measures. And don't tell me that guys are still getting through with, you know, with files and things like that, because the fact is anybody that wants to jack an airplane knows that there are a lot of eyes on any potential perpetrator, whether or not I can get my Swiss Army knife through a metal detector or not. Anybody that wants to jack an airplane knows that it is an extremely high level of risk now associated with that endeavor. How many hijackings have you seen in the last year, by the way? Since 9/11, how many hijackings have you seen? None. So what does that mean? Airline security's doing a bad job, or airline security's doing a good job? What does it mean? Sounds to me like the airline security, A, is doing a good job, and B, as I said so many times after 9/11, any guy that tries to jack a plane now is taking his life in his hands. How many attacks have there been on the United States since 9/11? How many, I mean, seriously, within our borders, how many? I ain't seen a one. You know, for this big bad enemy that's got it in for us, and they got, you never know, they're going to do a nuclear power plant, and they may blow up Disneyland, and they might just shove a stick of dynamite up Craig's rear end, and they might kill his girlfriend, and who knows what they got planned. Boy, they sure have been a little quiet lately. So I'm going to draw this conclusion. Number one, these guys ain't got what they say they got. And number two, guys doing the airline security are doing a great job. And we're flying 9/11. But I wouldn't suggest Nikki fly from Tokyo, because that's... All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know why that headline I just read on a website, dogs, scientists think dogs can count. I don't know what that did to me. I was interested, and then I felt sad. A lot of emotions suddenly came over me when I read the headline. Scientists, I felt violated in some way. Many different emotions swept over me when I read the headline, Dogs Can Count, Many Scientists Think. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. So who's afraid of flying on 9/11? Well, I don't know. Let's find out. Doug, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, hi.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are
great,
you?
Great, man. Fine.
Good. I just heard your comment about, you know, if there hasn't been any other hijacking since 9/11.
No.
And I think now American people are together. If someone's going to hijack a plane, and I'm sitting in a seat, I'm not going to sit there and let anything happen again. And I think most people aren't. We're all going to get up. And
well, I'm going to sit there.
Four guys, and there's 70 or 80, you know, of us, and we're not going to let it happen if we.
What are you
going
to do? What are you going to do?
Well, get together and just grab the guy, whatever. You know, if I get killed, okay.
You're fine with that?
Well, I don't want to die, but you know,
I'd rather someone else did it.
It's going to be, yeah. I mean.
One of the problems, though, Doug, and you have to understand this, that on a transcontinental flight across the United States, if a hijacker attempted to commandeer a jet, most of the people flying would be too drunk to even get up. See?
No.
And so you have to stay
no.
sober. I know I would be.
Let me just try and...
Yeah.
You know? But you feel certain that you would? Seriously?
Yes. I wouldn't be drunk.
You would not be drunk. Do you drink?
I do drink, but I would not.
Do you drink on airplanes?
I may have one drink, but
I knock them back pretty good if I've got a long flight, you know. But if I'm just, you know, many flights I do not drink at all if I have a short flight. But if they say the hijacker is going to take a plane with a lot of fuel on it,
right,
which would be
right.
A transcontinental flight of some kind or an international flight of some kind. And the first thing I do when I sit down on a transcontinental or international flight is I start pouring the Bloody Marys back. Like they ain't got enough of them in their little galley.
Yeah, so, but that could even give you more courage.
That could give me more courage. And most of the fights that I've been in, I was drunk, so...
Yeah, no, I would definitely. I would.
Craig Taylor, my engineer, any flight over 35 minutes, he's wasted.
Oh, no. Well, that's not right.
All right, pal.
All right.
Well, that's good to know.
Thank you, Doug. I think American people stay together. If something happens on a flight, you get together and let's get it together.
We'll kick some ass. Yeah. Stick them out on the wing.
Yeah.
You got it, brother.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. 1-800-449-8686. I'd like to know, seriously, if you guys are afraid to... How many of you guys have not flown? I know one person who hasn't flown since 9/11, although I do believe he took off on a flight last week. Has anybody out there not been on an airplane since September the 11th? Oh, I guess that there are people out there that haven't been on an airplane since September 11th. They're not going to want to call because they're going to think I'm going to make fun of them, and they're embarrassed. All right. So it's a self-defeating question in many ways. It is a non-fulfilling... very unfulfilling topic to say, is anybody too afraid to fly since 9/11? Well, if you call, I won't make fun of you, but obviously you think I will, and so forget it. Do any of you have plans of not flying on this coming 9/11 because you're afraid that, you know, you're afraid that a big bad guy in a turban is going to take over the plane, stick a gun up your nose, and tell you to do sit-ups or tell you to do splits over an egg? And I guess if you're too afraid to fly on this coming 9/11, you wouldn't want to call either because that makes you look like a chicken, too. What stupid questions these are that I'm asking.
Any of you afraid to fly on 9/11? And if so, why so? And if not, why not?
Give us a call. There's a part of me that I've flown 12 flights for you, Taylor. I have flown to Fiji and back, New York and back. Maria also went to San Antonio and back for the Republican National Women's Convention 1 week after 9/11. And the kids asked me, are you afraid of being hijacked when we went to Fiji? I said, well, what building are they going to crash? They take off from 90, they're going to turn around and they're going to crash into what? Into some guy's kava ceremony? They're going to turn around and crash into some guy's palafito on the beach. There's not a big enough building, honey. They're going to hijack you. They're going to hijack me. Take off from Fiji, turn around, and they'll crash into a volcano. That's a great statement. Of all the places in the world, you don't have to worry about somebody getting jacked. It's probably Nandi, Fiji. And I know, because going through the security there, I must have hit the buzzer. I triggered that buzzer 85 times, and the people are like, go ahead, just get out of here. I got all kinds of metal. I don't give a crap. Get out of here. Brian, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Let's assume for a minute that all of your comments, by taking this in such lightheartedness, are not entirely offensive. We'll leave that aside for a second.
Well, we can not only assume it, but they were not entirely offensive.
Now, number one, just to blast some holes, number one, Fiji is only about a five-hour flight from Indonesia in a lot of very pro-Islam areas, and if you wanted to, and if you're telling me that the security...
So anyway, Brian, have you flown since 9/11?
Many, many times.
Okay, so what's your problem?
My problem is this. The gentleman that called, I guess he was two callers ago now because I was on hold, made a very valid point that if Al-Qaeda or any other kind of terrorist were to try to take over any kind of plane that was going to go any kind of distance and therefore be full of fuel, like you said, they would have to deal with a bunch of Americans who have had at least year at that
having
point
done
with the vented up range.
Having said that, you called up with, you were a little cantankerous with me. What seems to be the problem?
Well, I'm cantankerous because you're talking about crashing planes into volcanoes and stuff like that, and I think that you're making light of a situation which doesn't... The caller made a very valid point, and it's something to which I've contended for ever since this horrible thing happened, which is that we need to be focusing on other areas of protection in this country because there is no way that these guys are taking another flight. The second four guys get up with box cutters on a cross-continental flight...
I got that, and I've said that, too,
throat,
from the time that 9/11 happened. I understand that, Brian. And you know
you didn't understand.
I said it right after 9/11, and I made fun of it because I've been saying it so much, I'm tired of hearing myself say it. So what you're saying isn't anything original. Why don't you try saying something original?
Nothing is more sobering than the adrenaline that would go through these Americans as they pummeled the living crap.
Oh, brother. Yes, we get it. What are you afraid of?
Boy, and what, by the way, is more original than making jokes
about how
people are drunk on...
What are you afraid of, Brian? See you later. That guy is petrified, but he can't tell me what it is that he's petrified about. 1-800-449-8686. from the time that 9/11 happened, I was one of the first people to say, God help the next guy to Jackson Airplane. Well, that's fine. I don't expect everybody to listen to every radio show that I do. If you're afraid of flying, why are you afraid of flying? There hasn't been one hijacking in this country since 9/11. There has not been one terrorist event since 9/11 in this country. We're going to have to start to pull our heads out of our rear ends a little bit and start to kind of, you know, go walk outside and go, you know, this is the world here. We're going to have to start to grow up a little bit. You know, I've been hearing all of these petrified businessmen talking about how they're tired of standing in all of these long lines for security, and there's a million other places where we are lax in our security. What about our nuclear power plants? What about all of our dams? What about our bridges? What about our this and what about our that? What about our radiological? Yeah, there's a lot of things. You're right. I understand that. I haven't seen one thing happen since 9/11 other than that poor schlub that tried to set his shoes on fire. That guy, oh, he was wonderful, wasn't he? Here's a poor guy trying to set a shoe on fire. He couldn't get the matches were wet because he was probably peeing his pants. This is not what we call an effective military offensive, guys. When one is launching a military or some kind of a military operation against an enemy, one does it in successive operations. One does it not just with one planned operation, but with several, and they are done with relative consistency, they are done with a serious amount of planning, a serious amount of tactical planning, and then they are executed. There hasn't been anything like that, even remotely like that, since 9/11. So we are doing what Americans do very well. We're, you know, frightened of our own shadows. Or maybe I'm full of it. Huh? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
So, like I said, they had another guy walk into a cafeteria this time in the Hebrew University today and blow himself up. And these suicide bombings continue, or homicide bombings, doesn't matter what you call them, they just continue. And somebody over there thinks they're going to get something done. I don't know what it is. Ain't going to do anything other than get a lot of people killed and keep the West Bank or whatever it is that the Palestinians think they got over there. Keep it in a relative state of disarray and in a relative state of mayhem, man. I mean, they got no civilization. They got nothing. They got a whole lot of nothing. They just got people who go to the step. From everything that I hear, life in the West Bank is going to the store, coming home, and eating, and then going out and working whatever job you possibly can, and being really pissed at Israel. And saying a lot of prayers to Allah, and letting your kids play in the sewer, and keep being pissed at Israel, and oh yeah, occasionally America, and then go back to the market and get some more crap to eat, and pump your fist in the air occasionally, and get out in the street and burn an American flag, and it sounds like a hell of a way to live to me. And if you're lucky, one of your kids is going to strap some plastic to himself and walk into a cafeteria someplace or a restaurant or a coffee shop or a Dunkin' Donuts or whatever and blow himself up. Ain't we got fun? And this, of course, and I said it like, you know, 3 months ago. One of the other things that I said that nobody heard I said, but I said it is a historical fact that when you start using your children in warfare, you have already lost. You've already lost. This is a historical fact. I didn't make that up. I'm not just putting my spin on it. When you use your kids, when children go to war, when children are used as soldiers, you have already lost. You have degraded yourself to such a level. You have degraded yourself to such an incredible level that it'll take you generations to pull yourself out of the sewer. And if you don't believe me, look at Nazi Germany. Look at Tsarist Russia. Both of those defeated nations, and their last gasp, they were throwing their kids into the battle. And that's what they're doing now over in Ragtown. Suicide down through the ages. They had a thing in the LA Times on suicide attacks, and I looked at this kamikaze pilots. Japanese pilots who made suicidal crashes into enemy targets, usually ships. The kamikaze or divine wind attacks sunk 34 vessels and damaged hundreds. At Okinawa in 1945, more than 1,000 suicide pilots killed nearly 5,000 U.S. service personnel. They lost the war. Then there was the embassy bombing in Beirut. There was the barracks bombing in Beirut. And even though this guy wasn't trying to kill anybody other than himself, will we ever forget Marshall Applewhite and 38 of his followers, the Heaven's Gate cult, back in, what was it, 98 or 97? Marshall Applewhite and 38 of his followers in Heaven's Gate cult, they killed themselves in Rancho Santa Fe. They expected to shed their earthly bonds and travel to the next level of existence on a spacecraft they believed was shadowed by the Hale-Bopp comet. And if you've ever seen a picture of Marshall Applewhite, he looks like he just swallowed an entire bottle of Dexedrine. Look at those eyes, just bugged out of his head. Also, my understanding, and this is one of the more interesting aspects of the Marshall Applewhite cult, he neutered himself. By the way, we just had our cat neutered, and I wish that the cat had that skill. I wouldn't be out $58. This guy decided that to be a part of the cult, you had to be neutered, and why waste all that money and time and trouble in a hospital? He just went ahead and took a lathe to his genitalia. Here is Yvonne on the Phil Hendry Show. Yvonne?
Filski, hi. Hey, look, I want you to understand
Filski?
Something.
Filski? I don't get Filski. What is that? F-C-I-L. Is that your way of being friendly?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Being affectionate, yes.
Oh, you're affectionate.
Okay, yeah. Okay, now listen, let me say this first, okay, because you're kind of rough on the callers. But this comes from somebody who loves you very much. In fact, let me tell you how far it goes. First of all, I'm on the verge of a divorce because of you. My husband is tired of hearing your damn name. He has a real sense of humor. I've been trying for 4 years to get him on board. I can't do it. So anyway, back.
It's okay.
Okay. The other thing is, what happened was I tried to back in 1990. I guess it was 1998. I tried to get you onto WNIS here, and
where
I had
are
a
you?
Tough time.
Where
I'm in Virginia Beach. Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Okay.
And I followed you on the internet. So what I did was I said, listen, this guy, the program director, he has to know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I taped you over the internet, and you would believe how I had it set up, how I rearranged my home to get this thing set up. I won't go into the details how I did it. But anyway, I taped you, took the tape down 6 o'clock in the morning to the desk. I couldn't get into the studio, of course, that time of morning.
That's a little psycho. 6 a.m. trying to break into a radio station with
Well, I was on my way to work.
Oh, you were on your way to work. Okay.
I was on my way to work. So I dropped it off, and I nagged him for 6 months, and he finally got you here. But these folks down here, Virginia Beach, Norfolk, they're a little bit anal retentive. I don't know. I know some of your stuff is risque, but it's like the baby in the bathwater thing. You just can't get rid of everything because of a few gnarly episodes. Well, anyway, you're gone now.
Gnarly.
You're gone.
I like that word, gnarly.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty common in this part of the country. Well, anyway, you're gone now, so I got the backstage pass thing.
Cool, I'm glad. I'm sorry that we're not in Virginia Beach, Virginia, but we have those ups and downs across the country. And there's certain parts of the country that we're really strong in, and some places get a little frightened. I understand that.
Yeah.
Virginia's one of them.
We got some old fogies down
Washington,
here.
Washington, Oregon, Montana, Texas, Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, California, Arizona, Nevada, and all of New England. But other than that, we're doing great.
Okay.
So Illinois doesn't like us either. That's very nice of you.
Here's what I called up for, okay? That
Uh-oh.
Was just, I did let you know how much I love you, okay? I've never called a show before because, you know, I and I might, one of these days I might tell you how I figured you out. I figured you out
Well, anyway,
okay, why did you call? Tell me why you called.
I'll tell you why I called. You have a tendency to be very nasty and impatient with some of the callers. One or two callers back, the guy tried to explain to you, hell, I forgot what he was talking about.
Yeah, he was so compelling, you don't even know what he was talking about.
Oh, about flying. About flying. And he was on the verge of making a point. And Phil, I'm going to tell you
He didn't make a point. He made the same point over and over again about passengers.
You kept interrupting him, Phil.
No, he kept making the same point about passengers kicking ass on hijackers, which the other caller had already made. So I said, fine.
You intimidate people, Phil. You don't give them a chance.
You didn't hear what I just said, did you? The guy was making the same point that the other caller made about passengers kicking ass on hijackers. Whoop-de-doo. I said, why are you calling? I wanted to know what the reason was for his call. Uh-huh. Because he had told my screener that his call was about something else entirely.
Okay.
It was about flying, and it was about the safety in effect at our airports. And he never got to that. He wanted to talk about how we're all going to kick ass on hijackers.
Well, he might have been glad to talk to you, and also you have a very intimidating way about you. It doesn't work on me, of course, but for some people that are just catching on to you, maybe you threw him off track completely. But even if that was or wasn't the case, I've been listening to you for a while, Phil. We're talking about back in 96, 97, whatever. You do this, well, mostly since you've been syndicated. You sometimes come off like a real ass.
Because sometimes I am a real ass.
I know.
And you know what?
I know.
It is a difficult thing to get somebody on the air get a phone caller on the air that's really interesting. I'm not trying to be rude.
Yeah.
It is difficult to get phone callers on the air that are really interesting. I don't have a lot of patience with a lot of talk show callers because they're not interesting people. You, on the other hand, Yvonne, you've piqued my interest.
Well,
I want to know who you are.
You.
I want to see a picture. I have the smell of your hair in my nose. No, you are an interesting person, and so I'm spending this time talking to you. But a lot of people are not interesting, and I want to get to the point. Okay, what's the point here? And I also want to hear an original point of view. Now, if the caller just before said, yeah, we're going to kick ass on hijackers, now caller number two calls up and says, yeah, we're going to kick ass on hijackers, I don't know, call me crazy. It sounds redundant to me.
All right, well, listen, I'll accept that to a point, but keep in mind this fortune you're having isn't going to last forever, and don't kill the goose that's laying the golden egg. You've got
fortune.
Some very dedicated fans.
Whether they're articulate or not,
don't blow them off so easy.
But I have listeners that I have to, I have listeners that I owe an entertaining show to. Am I doing my job when my listeners have to sit out there and listen to some dull caller?
Okay.
See what I'm saying? In other words, there's all those people out there that don't call, and they're going, Phil, why are you keeping this guy on the line, and why are you, that's why a lot of times I don't even take phone calls.
Now,
intimidating? Okay, maybe I ought to change my style so I'm not so intimidating, but...
Not all the time. Have one week where you're a real human being, and the next week you can be an ogre. Kind of, alternate a little bit.
One week where I'm, talking touchy-feely stuff, like my kids and my daughter's cat and stuff like that, you mean? And then the next week I can go into the political stuff? One week where I'm playing Flipper, and then the next week I'm
okay.
My jacket. And now this guy that I was just talking about has called back to say that I'm lying. I'm lying.
Uh-oh.
He said the Brian guy that you were defending, he's called back to say that I'm a liar because he wasn't talking about how they were going to kick ass on hijack. Well, am I wrong? Isn't that what that guy was talking about? Brian?
See, the problem is, and I do want to apologize, because I really didn't understand.
Yeah.
I really didn't understand the lighthearted nature by which you appear to attack any subject, whether it be the September 11th attacks or pretty much anything, because this is the first time I'd ever heard your show.
Look, she's even groaning, and she was defending you like 3 minutes ago.
The first time he
but
heard the
but
show.
My point is, I tried to back up the caller two before me, because while I was on hold, I heard what he was talking about. And it seems to me like you made extreme light of the fact that he was trying to say that Americans would defend themselves on planes.
Yeah, but that wasn't why he called.
I thought I could defend that guy. I never even made it to my point.
Right.
Because you wanted to go on and on.
No, I wanted to tell you, we already heard that point.
You weren't making light of the thing when you're making people are drunk on airplane jokes.
We already heard the point. Why don't you get to why you called? Why do you want... I wanted you to get to why you called, because we'd already heard that guy's point about everybody being a hero on an airplane.
Well, then I guess my point is that back day one in comedy school, when they taught people get drunk on airplane jokes, You probably should have just taken notes and waited until you could come up with
your original
stuff.
Back in day one in comedy school, when you started learning all the day one in comedy school jokes, you probably should have, you know.
I guess the difference is that they don't pay me to waste airspace, and they pay you to do it.
Hey, brother, I'm funnier than you.
Oh, well, and I guess that's why you're one radio show
ahead
of me, aren't
you? And here's the thing. I'm getting paid. What's your excuse?
My point, you know, if you're going
to
just distract
to
from
point.
Reality every
no,
time
man,
somebody tries to make a valid point on your show,
I'm just trying
then
to find out what
I guess
you...
I speak for the 6 billion of us when I say we're defenseless.
Six
because
billion.
No
thank
point
you for
discuss...
inflating my numbers by about 6 billion%. But go
no,
ahead.
I'm talking about pretty much everybody on the planet Earth.
I see. You speak for Brian is now speaking
say
for
say whatever you want.
Yeah.
If you're free to say whatever you want, like you did to this nice lady who was trying to defend me.
Yes, I am.
Then, because you have a one-way ticket to paradise with your microphone and your broadband.
That's right. I have a license to do this.
Exactly. And
right.
You can say, look, this guy told the screener A, B, and C, when
hold
in fact I didn't.
What, David?
What are you doing now?
I'm talking to a caller.
Well, why? Oh, yeah, this is your adoring public. They want to know why you're letting these guys ramble so long.
No, I want to know who's the gentleman I'm speaking with.
This is David Hall. What is your Brian, right?
Who is this guy?
His name is Brian.
Well, what do you want? What do you want?
I've
been listening to you for 5 minutes, and you haven't got out what you wanted to say.
Well, that's what I was trying to...
Why don't you shut up and let me talk to him?
Sure.
What are you trying to say, Brian? Brian!
Hey, Brian, don't let him back you down now. You know, stand your ground.
Brian, are you there? What'd you do? You all of a sudden, Brian fainted.
He fainted, yeah. Anyway, so Yvonne, there you go. That's what you get for defending old Brian. He passed out in the phone booth.
Well, he'll be back for tomorrow's show.
All right, thanks for calling.
Anytime, Phil.
Bye. She's all bummed out and depressed. She's out there promoting my show, and this is the kind of guy that I am. I don't make light of everything, but I do have, and this is probably a personal character. I don't know whether it's a feeling or not. I don't have a lot of patience with the same point being made over and over again. And we talked about the whole hijacking after 9/11 being a, you know, something that wasn't going to happen again. And the fact that those people on Flight 93 did a great thing by saving the lives of so many. And what hijacker would be stupid enough to jack a plane in America now knowing what fate awaits them? And then the caller called and said that. So I thought, well, why don't I do something different and I'll make fun of the fact that I might be drunk. I don't think I denigrated the caller. If I did, then I apologize. But I did say that it's a very high likelihood that I could be just half in the bag when somebody goes, this is hijacked, we take plane to Kennedy. That's okay with me. I'm in the middle of watching Simple Plan, or you know, I got the that real terrible thing I watched on the Royal Tenenbaums. I got my little DVD player. And,
How are we, sir? Another Bloody Mary?
Yes, we'll just take two more. Well, you know what? Just make a double. Bring me both the bottles.
All right, sir.
And meanwhile, there's a guy up front with a box cutter going, this plane's going to Newark. This plane, you think, is going to Newark. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
+1 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
It's time now for Florida. Florida. Yes, we love Florida. Police say a spectator bit off another man's earlobe and an infant girl was knocked out of her mother's arms during a brawl that broke out after a teenage baseball tournament in Port St. Lucie. Police say the spectator bit off Mr. Scott's left earlobe and escaped. He was treated at Port St. Lucie Medical Center and then released. Yeah. In Lakeland, Florida, they call it a voluntary roadside interview, but for hundreds of motorists flagged down by state troopers Monday on Interstate 4, there was nothing voluntary about it. Off-duty troopers hired at $30 an hour picked motorists at random and directed them to pull off the interstate in a rest stop where Palm Pilot-toting interviewers waited. No, this roadside checkpoint wasn't looking for drunks. The survey, which will cost about $15,000, was commissioned to gauge public interest in riding a proposed 120-mile-an-hour bullet train. Whatever. A Florida woman's... All of a sudden, I'm gagging on that last phone call. Florida! 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 We love it! Anyway, we'll do this again tomorrow.
We love it!
What happened? I was doing so well, and all of a sudden I got jealous of that zucchini. 1-800-449-8686.